Thank you for joining us at the City Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
The implementation module that we're moving into. Amen. All right, so let's go back to verse 5. This is what we've been speaking about for some time. Verse 6. And I'm going to go further on it. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, "You have dwelt long enough on this mountain." Everybody say, "Long enough." Say, "Long enough." I'm sure you have heard that so much. You have heard it long enough that you need to have gotten it. Amen. In other words, there's nobody here who is permitted to remain at the same level that they are. If you stay where you are right now, then you are not walking in the prophetic flow that is upon the church. Amen. There has to be a shift. Somebody say there has to be a shift. Because the heavens are open for a shift. There has to be a shift. So you have dwelled long enough. And there's nothing wrong in dwelling, but you've got to step up. You've got to move on. Amen. So turn and take your journey. Everybody say, take your journey. I love the way it says your journey. Now there is our journey. Someone say our journey. You understand? So the church has a corporate journey. Now within that corporate journey, there's also individual journeys. Actually, when the individuals begin to take their own journeys, that's when the whole church moves in its full journey. You understand? If you have a body and the head says, "Let's move," and the feet does not move, you know it's going to affect the whole body, right? It's going to affect the entirety of the plan or the goal of the head. And Jesus Christ is the head of the body, right? So that's why when God gives an instruction, everybody has to move so that the entire body can be able to accomplish the plan of the Savior, of the Master. Amen. So, arise and take your journey. Go to the mountains of the Amorites. So everybody say mountains. Somebody say mountains. You see, whenever you see mountains, you know that there is a level of challenge or obstacle that is involved. Did you get it? There's a level of challenge or obstacle involved in the possession. Mountains usually represent challenges. They represent things that will require extra help. So this moving and possession is not something that you can just do by your own natural strength. Did you get that? The things that God will be dropping in your heart, your journey, they're not things that you are going to be able to accomplish by your own natural abilities. These things will look intimidating. They will look intimidating. At the very beginning, they will look unconquerable. When God is leading you into anything, it doesn't start by looking easy. Amen. It is easy eventually. You will find that eventually that, wow, this is what I was scared about. But when you are being led into it, it seems tough. It seems, insurmountable. It looks huge. It looks tough. How do we get the businesses of this community to come together? Everyone is separate and nobody wants to talk the way people think and all that. How do we get to these high schools? Now we just saw two high schools mentioned, right? You mentioned the school, right? And then that's another one and all that. It looks insurmountable. There's a real estate that God has called you to possess because there's something He wants to use it for, and He wants to use you to do it. Amen. And then you look at it and the price, the all the things surrounding it seems insurmountable. Like it's tough. How can this ever be done? Yeah, that's the way it is. It's mountains. Amen. Everybody say they're mountains that must be possessed. They're mountains. Hallelujah. So He told them to go, and He began to tell them about the expanse, from this place to that place. He defined it. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 8. I think I have spoken about that. I don't want to spend time because of my limited time. I don't want to go into that. So I'm just going to jump around the various verses. Now, so he told them, go. Everybody say, go. Go. The Living Translation says, I'm giving you the land. Please go to that verse. I'm giving you the land. I think it's verse 9. Verse 9. I'm giving you the land. No. Sorry. That is where I want to. If you found it before me, that's fine. I'm trying to open to Deuteronomy. Verse what? Verse 8, quickly. So go to verse 8. I want to make sure I open it there. Yes. All right. Praise God. So look at verse 8. It says, see, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land. The Lord swore it will give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. I have given you the land. See, I have given you. Everybody say, he has given us. So last week, I took some time to explain what it means. What it means. What this verse means. You know, what does it mean by I have given you? So the first thing we looked at last week was, first of all, to define what the land meant. Amen. If you were here last week, tell me, what does the land mean? What's the first meaning of the land? Everybody say, a place of purpose. Say, my place of purpose. So everybody has a place where you are like fish inside the water. A place where when you stand in there, you know that you are doing what you are created to do. So when the Bible uses land in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the New Testament refers to that place of purpose, that place that is yours, that place God has destined you to be. It's called the expected end. It's called God's predestination for your life. Amen. That place that God wants you to be, that place of purpose is your land. Everybody say, that's my land. Number two, what does the land represent again? A physical land, right? So in other words, it also represents a physical land. Because for you to fulfill your divine purpose, you are going to need some physical things, right? So you are going to need properties, you are going to need those, you know, just different things like that. So that land also represents physical land, physical possessions. Hallelujah. And then the one that I didn't really go into, that land also represents systems. I will say systems. So when it says, I've given you the land. So if you notice that in the land, like maybe the land of Chicago, or even in the place of purpose, there are some systems that are already established that God will want us to go in there and influence with the purpose he has given us to change those systems, to make sure they are aligned with the values of God. Amen. So the land, everybody say after me, say, the land that God has given me represents my place of purpose, physical possessions, and systems. Systems. Like educational system, like business system, like all those things. So those things represent what? The land. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we understand what the land he has given us is. Then the next thing I explained last week was why did he give us the land? Why would God just say, I give it to you? And I told you, number one, if you remember, I said the number one reason why God gave us the land is because he has a promise to fulfill. Everybody say, God has a promise to fulfill. He has a promise to fulfill. He has a promise to fulfill. Hallelujah. He has a promise to fulfill. God made some promises, as we saw last week. He made some promises to Abraham. He made some promises to Isaac. He made some promises to Jesus. And part of that promise is that we're going to be heirs of what? Of the world. We're going to inherit the land. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, I'm just repeating this. You know, this is not my message for today, but I'm just, you know, going through it again. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, quickly. It says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Now, why does he give you the ability to produce wealth? Because if you don't know the purpose, you're going to abuse it. Amen. He gives you the ability to produce wealth because there's a covenant he wants to confirm in our days. Did you get that? There's a covenant he made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he wants to prove to the world that that covenant is still active today. Did you get that? In other words, he owes Abraham something. Because he promised Abraham that the blessing that he was going to give him was going to be to him and his seed. Did you get that? So if the seed does not get it, right, then the promise is not fulfilled. And God will be a liar. And so the question is, who is the seed? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21 that we are what? Abraham's seed. If we are what? Christ. If we are Christ, Galatians 3:21, if you are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? According to the promise. If you are Abraham's seed. Someone say, I'm Abraham's seed. And therefore, I'm a heir. According to what? To the promise. So if you are born again, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And then you are a partaker of the promise that God gave unto what? Unto Abraham. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And then let's start reading from verse 26. Verse 26 says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through what? Through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, that were baptized into Christ, have joined yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 29, everybody, let's read verse 29 together. I want to go. If you what? Then you are what? And what? Someone say, I belong to Christ. Then I am a seed of Abraham. And I have a right to the promise that God made to Abraham. Someone say, I have a right to the promise that God made to Abraham. I don't see anybody excited here because it seems you don't know what that promise really is. Amen. If you knew what that promise was, you'd be excited. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone say, I have Abraham's promise. Say, Abraham's blessing is mine. Abraham's blessing is mine. Hallelujah. Romans 14 verse 11. Let's see what's one of the promises, one of, you know, the aspect of that promise. Romans 14, 11. He said, God says, it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Everybody say, every knee will bow before me. And every tongue will confess to God. Hallelujah. So in other words, one of the promises that God has made is that as long as he is alive, there is every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess him. So part of the Abraham's promise is the restoration of people to God. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? So part of the promise of Abraham involves our witness, involves our discipleship. It involves people coming to know God. God has said that as long as he's alive, that is going to happen. Amen. So God wants to fulfill that promise. So he sends us forth into all these spheres so that we are part through our lives, through our words, through the things that he's doing in our life. People will say, wow, what a God this is, and they will bow to him. Did you get that? They will bow to him. They will acknowledge him. They will acknowledge him. Hallelujah. You know, we had this guy that came yesterday, the Hyde Park Chamber of Commerce guy. You know, when he walked into this place, he's like, wow. What? Love this place. You know, because when you look from outside, you don't know what is here now. Amen. Hallelujah. And then when he moved around, and then he sat in the green room, and he said, I have to have some meetings in this place. In other words, there are some things that God can do that will cause people to acknowledge him. Amen. Hallelujah. But God wants to do it everywhere. Did you get it? He wants to do it everywhere. Through you. He wants people to come to know him. He wants people to be discipled. Hallelujah. That's a promise he has made. Let's look at another thing. Another promise that God has made. Glory to God. Another one that he has made. Also in the book of Romans. Let's look at chapter 4 of Romans. Romans chapter 4. There was a blessing. There's an aspect of the blessing or the promise to Abraham that I want you to see that is very important. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. Glory to God. It's possession time. Somebody say it's possession time. Declare it. Say it is possession time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look at it. Let's start reading from verse 13. Are you ready? Say, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise. What was the promise? Everybody read it. What was the promise? That he will do what? He will be the heir of the world. So that's part of the promise that God is here to fulfill. And he wants to fulfill it. Someone say heir of the world. Or possessors of the earth. So you see, many of these systems, many of these things that you see, people who are not related to God and all that, they are using it. They are doing all those things. It's illegal. Amen. The real purpose of God is that the church will rise up and take ownership. Amen. And start using it the right way. How many of you think you have a TV station? If you're born again, you have a TV station like MTV. Do you think you will use it to corrupt people? Is that, what will you use it for? Right? But you know, we left it in their hands. So, and then we sit down and we watch them and they corrupt all the children. Amen. Do you know that all the clubs, I don't know if you know, Friday night, Saturday night, I know that tried to up 50, or 50, what do you call it, up, in all those clubs and everything. Do you know those people who own, they know they have a lot, they have some money. But you see how all the kids that are drunk all around. But then we just stay in the church and clap. And then we deal with what do you call $100 and $200. And then God just bless me and my family. Amen. I'm saying, I'm just trying to, you know, increase your vision. Amen. God can give you wealth for you to change all those things if your purpose is aligned. Amen. That's why we're going to have the clean club. Somebody say amen. CC. A place where you can take your wife and your boyfriend to and you will not be tempted and, you know, by the time you leave the place, you are thinking of how can I fulfill God's purpose? But you have fun. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Glory to God. Yep. I'm speaking it out. Someone say the clean club. And then you have clean clubs all over the place. Amen. And your unclean clubs will carry it. It would be so great to just take over some unclean club and tell them to clean clubs. Amen. Just offer the, what do you call it? Flex homes or whatever. You know, after you get your billions or, you know, even me, just about 1,000 or whatever, 100,000. Just go and offer, meet one of those clubs and say, I'm going to give you 200,000 right now. I want to take over this club. Then you change it from unclean club to clean club. Amen. Can we dream? Amen. Can we dream? Amen. What about all those properties that are around this place and, you know, right now, many of them are empty. But you know what? Nature abhors a vacuum. Do you get that? In other words, when things are empty, they are bound to be filled eventually. The question is, who is going to fill them? Who is going to fill it? Now there are many of them empty all around. Lot empty, all these things empty. If we don't rise up now and believe God for the finances, the faith, and everything, and start taking over all those things, somebody is going to come and take over there. And before you know it, when that's what our kids are going to find around this area. Amen. So that's why we've got to believe God. Glory to God. And I'm ready. Somebody say I'm ready. By the way, we had a meeting for the land. It was such an awesome meeting. Amen. So that land is already our own. Amen. You know, first of all, when they walked into this place, because they were the former owner of this place, Sister Joyce, please come. I need your help. You know, I like, you know, people sharing the test because she was there. Amen. Tell us what happened.
And I remember one in particular, the pastor had come through the green room and was coming out of the bathroom. Pastor Lance's back was to him, everybody's back was to him, but I was at the door, and he was like, oh. I mean, it was priceless to see. But they were very, you know, respectful and mannerable and appreciative of what has been done here as well. My biggest treat was going to their place.
Yes.
To see their place, which they've done some really beautiful work.
Yes, they also spent $1 million. They spent $1 million to renovate their new place.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So it was just celebrating the testimonies of God on both sides.
Yeah.
And then we sat down over, you know, mommy made, what do you call it?
Apple pie.
And discussed the other land. Amen.
Very friendly, warm negotiation. So
I said, free now. You know, they said, give us a price. They're free. Is that not a price? Yeah. We all laughed. I mean, right? He said, make us an offer.
He's telling the story about the praying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He told us about an experience when they were selling this building and about to purchase the new building. And their negotiations with the building that they were in was going through various stages, where the price was continuing to decrease. But there was a point when the price decreased by a huge amount of money. And it ended up lining up with the time when this church was praying for them.
So we started praying for them. You know, they couldn't move for a long time. That we couldn't move here when we were in that place. That we shifted to start praying for them to be able to move. Their miracle took place.
Yes, and he was a little surprised by that, but could connect with that because he remembers how miraculous it was that the price had dropped. And when that happened, he then, remember at one point Pastor Land told us that he had heard from the pastor and we had been given a reprise or
yes,
a
the price down.
An amount of money, so it all lined up.
Yeah, it was so when they saw their own miracle, they said, you know what, we need to pass it down to the next church. And they brought the price down. Their building was supposed to be it was first listed for 8 million, then they dropped it to 1.8, and they got it for 500.
Wow.
Okay, so.
Yeah, they had to put $1 million in it, but it was worth it for that kind of price.
Yeah.
So we're expecting that huge difference for them for this year, for the land.
Yeah, so they told me to make an offer. So I said zero there, we laughed and all that, but I'm still mulling it to see the offer I'm going to give them. But one thing we were able to establish is that it is impossible for them to sell it to any other person, and they agreed. You know, it is ours. I say it's kingdom land, it's not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Yes, I like that. You know, I'm trying to share this testimony to stir you all up that it is open. Someone say it is open. Go and possess it. You know, when the windows of heaven open, prices fall. How many of you know that is very scriptural? Should I show you? Okay, 2 Kings chapter 6. When the windows of heaven, for someone knew that this thing will come out here. You know, I've been sharing about the floodgates of heaven. You see, when the floodgates of heaven open, prices fall down. 2 Kings chapter 6. Starting from verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting from verse 1. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 7. No, but with all the details. Chapter 7. Now, it's a whole story that leads there, but 7 is, you know, where we're. Now, Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seah of flour will sell for a shekel. And 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, chapter 6 that I opened to before, if you read through it, you discover that the prices of everything was high. There was a famine. People were even killing their sons you know, to eat. There was a huge famine. Then Elisha just appeared and proclaimed. He said, by tomorrow, the prices of everything is going to what? It's going to go down. Amen? In other words, before, let me tell you, it's just economics. Before, the supply was limited, was right, but the demand was high. And what happens to price? It goes high, right? Is that not the law of, you know, demand and supply? It's law of supply and demand. But when supply becomes what? Too much instantly, what happens to price? Price. So he was saying, what he was saying is that tomorrow, the supply will be too much. And he said, prices will go down. And you know, this guy, even though he doubted, but there was a revelation there. He said, verse 2, there was a guy there who doubted it. So you don't want to doubt. Someone said, I don't want to doubt. Because I'm going to make a proclamation based on this. He said, the officer on whose arm the king was leaning. You know, this guy is an important guy. He always stood by the king. And you know, sometimes when you are, you know, there, you know, you feel very important, like you know everything, because you can calculate everything. The man said, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heavens, could this happen? What? You will, then Elijah said, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of any of it. You will do what? But you will not be able to eat out of it. But the guy had a revelation. He understood that there's a window in heaven. Someone said there's a window. There are some windows. And when it is opened, hallelujah, when the windows are opened, things begin to happen. And one of the things that happen is that supply becomes abundant and prices come down. But he did not believe it. Now look at the way it happened. Next verse. Please pay attention to me because I'm declaring over you right now. If you are here, you are trying to purchase something or you are trying to do something. See, price. There's price of money. There's also the price of effort. Lift up your hands, everyone. I'm declaring that for all the things that God is telling you to do right now, the effort or the price that will be required will amaze you. It will be lower because of this season that God has brought us into. The effort and the price will be so tiny compared to the value that is going to be yours. If you are in a negotiation right now for real estate, go and offer a ridiculous price that God gives you. Or you're about to step in, offer a ridiculous price. Don't laugh like that guy, because I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. Offer a ridiculous price, amen, that God gives you. Because there's an anointing that causes little effort to produce great results. When the windows of heaven are opened, that's what happens. But that guy doubted. So and look at how God did it. There were two lepers. So they were also four lepers, at the entrance of the city gates. They said to each other, why do we stay here or to die? Please write it down. Write it down. The way God fulfills his word, a crazy idea will drop in your heart. Write it down. Lepers represent people that were what? That were ostracized, right? They were at the gate of the city, right? And then a crazy idea just dropped into their hearts. What? I mean, I've been staying in this house for a long time. I can't even, let me just step out and go and buy a new one. Buy something. Or I've been at this job for a long time. I think I want to apply for something else. Right? This business has been like this for a long time and I've been moved. You know what? I think I'm going to take it higher. I'm going to advertise it in this place. Or I'm going to do this meeting. Or I'm going to do something. In other words, something, a crazy idea just comes. That's what happened to those guys. They say, why do we sit here until we die? In other words, don't stay. I'm going to say, don't stay. Move on. Someone say, move on. I told you, you know, they have stayed there for a while, but the season has changed. They couldn't stay there anymore. We'll go into the city. The famine is there. We will die. So I can't go back. Amen. How many of you have been there before? You can't go back. Amen. If we stay here, we will die. Let's go over to the camp of the Harameans and surrender. So a crazy idea came to them to go and what? To surrender to the enemy. If they spare us, we will live. If they kill us, we will what? You know, sometimes when you're making all those negotiations or whatever, the worst they can do, they can't kill you. The worst they can do is no, right? And refuse you. I say, no, you are crazy. Is that going to kill you? So why are you afraid? Just step out. Come on, say, step out and do it. So these guys, you know what they did? What the Bible said, trying to tell us is that because of the prophetic words that was released, these guys got to a point, a crazy idea got into their head, and the summary of the crazy idea is that where we have stayed is, I mean, we're not making any progress where we are. We can't go back. Let's just go. Let's just go. I mean, if we perish, we'll perish. Let's just do what we're going to do. Amen. Right? Let's just do what we're going to do. The worst is they say no. At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Harimians. So they didn't just get a crazy idea. They acted. Someone said they acted. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. What? There was nobody to surrender to. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. It were only four people coming. Amen. Four people were coming, but the people were hearing and they all ran away. You see, some of you think you are so little. You think you don't have money in your account. You don't think you don't have that. But if you take a step that God told you to take, when you are moving, the people, they will be seeing somebody bigger. You get what I'm saying? They will be seeing someone bigger. You see, I've had some experiences. You know, my personal appearance is not intimidating. It's underwhelming. when I go out with Joe, go out with Brother David, when they are talking to the pastor, they talk to them. Say, okay, so pastor, and I just started the corner, right? So when they finish prayer, I say, okay, pastor, what did they say? Because I don't look like pastor, amen. Amen. So I have a very underwhelming personal appearance. So sometimes I've had some experiences that I would just enter into a place. Maybe I'm invited to a place, or I just enter into a discussion, a meeting. And I said, so this is the pastor land or whatever. Huh? Are you? Oh, you look so young. You remember the ad pack guy? So I was there doing the technical, whatever. He was, you know, sending the signal. So when he came over, I was going to say, wow, my brother. So it's all right. Amen. I love it. God designed it that way so that I can keep intimidating when I'm 70. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying is that, you know, you can have an underwhelming personal appearance. Do you get what I'm saying? But you can have overwhelming influence. You can have, you see, if you know, somebody called me, from one of these states, I've forgotten which state, this week, about to plant a church and all that. He said, I've been following the City Light Church for a long time. And one of the questions he asked is that, you see, the person said, I watch your services and, you know, I see the people and everything, but how come the influence that you have all around is more than what they call it, the services? I saw a revelation when the church started, and I shared it in Adramada. He said, the hands are a little. You know, Proverbs, let's look at it. Proverbs chapter, and I want, for you. So don't, someone say, don't let size intimidate you. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 30. Let's check it out. Proverbs 30:30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 30. Hallelujah. Go up a little bit. Hallelujah. Proverbs 20. 30 verse 29. Okay, so yes, let's start from verse 24. Very good. Proverbs 30:24. It said, four things are small. Someone said they are small, yet they are extremely wise. So listen, the fact that something is small, it can be wise. Someone said it can be wise. So, because it is wise, the hands, number one, are creatures of little strength. They don't have that much strength. But yet, they are able to prepare for the future, right? That's number one. They are small, but through wisdom, they are able to prepare for the future, right? That's number one. Number two, they are of little strength. Cornies are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. You need to understand that. The crags, making their home in the cracks means that they're able to penetrate. Everybody say they're able to penetrate. Even though they have what? They are feeble, they are small, they are little. But they're able to penetrate into places that some things cannot penetrate into, and they make their home in there. One of the things, for example, when, you know, Nick sent around that, I have get this question. Like, how are you guys able to get into the schools? Amen. That's from people who pastor big churches. How are you guys able to get into the schools? How are you guys able to? Now we're going to be in the high schools and all that. How are you going? How are you able to do it? I just remember this scripture. It said they are feeble, yet they make their houses. You know, they're able to penetrate into hard places. Then the next one. Locusts have no king. In other words, their leadership is not yet, you know, is not as expressed. Yet they advance together in ranks. Have you seen locusts when they come and they take over the whole place? But there's nobody really coordinating them. They are very disorganized. They're just going, right? So the lack of a strong leadership or even strong structure does not stop you from making impact. And then the last one. I love this one. A lizard can be caught with a hand, yet it is found in king's palaces. In other words, you can easily deal with a lizard. But a lizard can enter into the mayor's office, the White House, and you have never entered the place. Some of you have lizard living in your house right now. Enjoy it. Amen. The lizard has the ability to get into places, even though it is small. That's a revelation from God. For those of you who are starting things, despise not the days of little beginning. And don't be limited by the fact that you have little strength. Because with that little strength, with that little ability, with the wisdom of God, you can get to places. Hallelujah! That people will wonder why. Why? Because there's an influence of God that can come upon you that will go ahead of you. Like he went ahead of those lepers and they started to, what do you call it? An army ran away from them because they thought that it was an army coming after them when it was only four lepers coming. When the lepers got to the place, back to 2 Kings 7, when the lepers got to the place, they found plenty of what? Of goods, of food. And I want to show you something before. I'm going to round up with this. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 7, the lepers we're talking about. So when they got to the camp of the Arameans, they saw all those things waiting. Everybody lift up your hands and say, there are things already waiting for me now. Say, we are in a season that God has shaken the harvest and it is lying down. It is waiting right now for us to take over. He has given us the land. He has given us people. He has given us places. He has given us systems. All we just need to do, get that crazy idea from him and take a little step, move forward, and we'll discover that God has already gone ahead of us and it is waiting. Go back, look at what happened. But you know, one thing very important, because I was talking about the purpose of it. Because purpose is so important. You must know the purpose. So they got there. Quickly move forward. Quick forward. Because my time is, my time is actually gone. They went to the camp. They reached the edge of the camp. Not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptian kings to attack us. They still could not believe it. So they got up. They ran away. Good. Move on. So they got up and fled in the dust and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. It was only four lepers coming. So the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered into one of the tents. They ate our some of the ate and drank. And then they carried away silver. They carried away gold and clothes. And they went off and ate them. You see, this guy is making a mistake. Amen. The prophecy was upon the old land by Elisha that there will not be famine by the next morning. But when they were gotten, they went to hide it. They went to hide it. And that's never the purpose of God. When God blesses you, opens up anything for you, whether it is influence, whether it is money, whether it's anything, you're supposed to bring other people into it. Hallelujah! Not to hide it! They returned and entered another tent and took some of the things and they went to hide it also. But then, sense came into their head. Look at it. And that's where I want to end. Sense came into their head. Then they said to each other, we're not doing right. Come on, say, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, we went to the Aramean camp and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents slept just as they were. The gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. Quickly, let's move on. Reported within the palace, the king got up in the night and said to his officer, I will let you, I will tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They couldn't believe it. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out and then we'll take them alive and get them into the city. Oh, look at the king, pessimistic guy. He couldn't even believe when a miracle was in front of him. One of the officers answered, have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. They apply to be like that of the Israelite left here. You know, we are here, we're going to die anyway. So send 5 people to go and die ahead of us, at least to verify. They will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened. So they selected 2 chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, go and find out what has happened. They followed them as far as Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messenger returned and reported to the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seer of flour sold for what? A shekel. And 2 seers of what? Barley. Sold for what? As the Lord has said. But it was Elijah speaking. But it was the Lord speaking to him that it was going to happen. Amen. But look at that guy. That guy. Now the king had put the officer on whose army lane in charge of the gates. And the people trampled him in the gateway. And he died. Just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. Because, verse 17, it happened as the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, a seer of flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seers of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And the officer said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord opened the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen? The man of God replied, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it. And that's exactly what happened to him. For the people trampled him in the gateway and he died. Lift up your hands, everybody. I decree over you. First, stand up on your feet. I decree over you right now as a servant of the Lord who has received this word from the Lord. I decree in the name of Jesus that because of the hope in heaven that is upon this church right now, for this season and for his purpose, because of what he wants to do in this city and beyond this city, I decree over you right now that now the things that cost you so much effort to get in the past now will cost you little or no effort in the name of Jesus. Wow. Is that the only amen I'm going to get? I said the things that cost you so much effort to accomplish before, from this time forward, you will have to use little effort. I decree over you right now that the things that were supposed to cost you millions of dollars or thousands of dollars, those thousands of dollars things will go down. The prices will go down. The prices will go down. The prices will go down. Places that you have gone before and they rejected you, you will suddenly be accepted. Let those that have been held down that you were supposed to receive, they will come to you now. Jobs that belong to you that the devil sat upon, they will open up to you. Places your business has never been before, but you have only dreamed about, I declare right now you are going to start stepping into them. You are going to have supernatural advertisements. You are going to have supernatural advertisements. You are going to hear people talking about you. People discussing about your business. People discussing about your life. And they are saying great things about you. I declare from this day, it doesn't matter how you look, how unintimidating your presence is, but the influence of your life will be amazing. The influence of your life will go to the nations. The influence of your life will go ahead of you. Because the Lord has gone ahead of you. In the name of Jesus. I declare by the anointing of God from this day over this congregation that God has called to spread his glory over this city. I decree over you that from this day you carry an anointing upon you. You carry a glory upon you that will open up places, that will open up doors, that will cause those older than you to bow, that will cause those richer than you to bow, that will cause things to open. Rich treasure is to open. As it is written in Isaiah chapter 45. Please open it there. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 3. I prophesy it over you all right now. That he will give you the treasures.
Please put it at the, put it in the Message Bible for me. The Message Bible. I prophesy over you right now. Hallelujah. I say God will lead you into buried treasures. Somebody say amen. In fact, no. Go to verse 1. Verse 2. Let's start from verse 2 because the blessing is not complete. Before he leaves you, he has to open some things. Everybody, lift up your hand. I declare that God will go ahead of you. He will break the road for you. He will break down bronze city gates. He will smash bad locks. He will kick down bad entrances. And he will lead you to buried treasures, secret caches of valuables, a confirmation to show that in fact the Lord God of Israel is the one who has called you by your name. Somebody lift your hands and begin to shout hallelujah. If you believe it and you receive it, I speak it by God's Spirit. Go and lay hold of what belongs to you. It is time to possess your possessions. It is time to possess your possessions. It is time to possess your possessions. In the precious name of Jesus. Then come on, give him praise. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.